realized I had to do something to calm my curiosity, the drive to learn the truth leading to my decision. I spun on my heel and ran back down the hall as I decided the best thing to do was follow him and find out what he was up to. Shit. 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 If he was dirty, no wonder he was so interested in my work. He was determining if I posed a threat to him if we became close. Apprehension gripped me as I stepped into the restaurant again, my heart beating erratically. I glanced at the bar where Kip stood chatting up a brunette, oblivious to my presence. I reminded myself to act normal and not appear suspicious, so he didn't spot me and call me over. Once I managed to escape to the safety of my car, a wave of relief washed over me. But it was short-lived. Steering the Toyota to the side of the building where I suspected the employees parked, my eyes darted around until they locked on to Sebastian's black BMW. Trying to manage the adrenaline rush, I drove a little farther up the street and parked, my breath shallow as I waited for Sebastian to emerge. The minutes ticked by, and right before 9:30 p.m., Sebastian exited, hurried down the stairs, and climbed into his car. My pulse kicked up, and I wiped my damp palms on my jeans. Even though I hadn't ever tailed anyone before, I knew to stay back far enough not to raise suspicion. Sebastian drove for 10 minutes as I hung back, keeping him in my sight. He drove to a nearly deserted parking lot, parked his BMW next to a white van, and hopped in. The van exited through the back part of the lot onto a side street, which made sneaking up on them more difficult. I counted to 10 and watched the red taillights blink in the darkness as it turned right. Finally, they stopped in a back alley of a wealthy neighborhood. Holy shit. Is he casing a house? Disappointment overwhelmed me. I really liked Sebastian. I thought he was different from the other men I'd been interested in. It was nearly 10 o'clock when Sebastian jumped out of the van, but this time he wore a black baseball hat low on his forehead. He also had a mustache and beard. He's wearing a disguise. I hid my purse beneath the back seat as he jogged down the alley, and I hopped out of my car, closing the door softly to not alert anyone. With my phone ready to record, I hurried in the opposite direction. A row of hedges bordered the property, which meant I had cover. I crouched down and slipped between the greenery. Branches scraped across my bare arms, and I quietly swore. When I dressed earlier in my jeans and sleeveless navy blouse, I hadn't planned on hiding in a thicket to bust a burglary, yet here I was. As Sebastian appeared at the home's entrance, I frowned as he rang the doorbell. Is he just making sure the house is empty? I hit the record button, holding my breath. To my surprise, the front door swung open and a tall, blonde-haired woman answered. She peered around before she ushered him in. What the hell was happening? An unexpected tinge of jealousy tightened my chest. He must have someone helping on the inside. The home was fucking huge, and if he was stealing all the valuables, it would take time. Several minutes later, the terrified woman emerged with two children clutching backpacks and pillows, followed by Sebastian with a gun in his hand. What the fuck? Kidnapping? Had he pulled a pistol on them as soon as he was in the house? The sounds of their tennis shoes against the sidewalk echoed through the yard. I assumed the woman was their mother, but what was her connection to Sebastian? And why had I overheard him discussing scouting the place? Questioning my sanity with all the shit, I stood as I continued to video. I snuck out of my hiding spot and paused the recording as Sebastian and the others disappeared. Leaves crunched behind me, and I spun around, spotting an angry man stomping toward me.
Hey, what the hell are you doing on my property?
Damn it. I was so focused on Sebastian that I didn't see a car pull into the driveway. I squared my shoulders, noting the make of the black Cadillac. I assumed he owned the home. I'm sorry, my dog ran through the bushes and I was searching for her. Have you seen her? She's a mutt, part lab and part collie. I flashed him a grin, praying he bought my lie.
You have no right to be here. Get the fuck off my property and look for your dog somewhere else.
I raised my hands in the air, showing my compliance. Again, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to step on any toes. I made my way through the bushes and ran to the alley, where I found Sebastian blindfolding the kids and a woman seated on the floor in the back of the van. Oh, God. This is bad. Really bad. I had to help that poor woman and kids. There was a lot of criminal activity I could overlook, but not hurting children. I quickly restarted the video, catching all of it for the cops. Sebastian closed the doors, then hurried to the passenger's side.
Stop!
I yelled. Sebastian turned, glaring in my direction. I've got this recorded. Let them go, or I'll go straight to the cops and have you arrested. Sebastian's eyes narrowed and his shoulders tensed before he darted to me and snatched my phone out of my hand.
You don't know what the hell you're doing, he hissed. When Kip mentioned you stopped by the bar and sent you to my office, I suspected we might have a problem since you never showed up.
He forcefully grabbed my wrist and spun away from me, jerking me from behind him. Footsteps sounded from behind me, and I peered over my shoulder.
You didn't lose your dog, you bitch! You're trying to rob my house!
The man's fists clenched and unclenched.
God damn it!
Sebastian hauled ass to the van, and I quickly weighed the pros and cons of going with him or staying behind and dealing with the raving lunatic behind me. If I went willingly, I would have a better chance of helping the kids.
Go!
Flinging the door open, Sebastian forced me into the back with the others before he climbed into the passenger seat.
Go! Go! Go!
He barked at the driver, his tone thick with anger that I suspected was teetering on the edge of outrage. I settled in behind Sebastian's seat, a mixture of fear and fury bubbling inside me. I hadn't ever seen him so pissed before. Guess I was getting a first row seat to this shitty side of him. I thought you were better than this, Sebastian. You're kidnapping people? The van took a sharp turn, sending me toppling to the other side and into the woman.
Sorry.
I reached for her blindfold.
Ella, do not do that. You'll be sorry if you do.
He barked. Chapter 18. Ella. My hand froze, shaking in response to Sebastian's threatening words. I had never imagined him capable of such horrendous acts, and the idea of abducting women and children was unforgivable. Provoking him further was the last thing I needed. I had to stay calm and rational. Reminders of death invading my home last night sent a shiver through my body, and goosebumps trailed across my skin. Sebastian was a fucking picnic compared to death. I could do this.
Ella, you don't know what the hell you're doing. I'll explain it later, but for now, hold on. That motherfucker is following us.
He looked at the driver.
God damn it, Dope, you gotta shake him. Now. If I have to deal with him, it won't be pretty. I'm in a fucking van, dude. It's not like I can hit 90 miles an hour and take sharp corners.
I leaned forward to see the driver, Dope. He shoved his long fingers through his short red hair and then replaced both hands on the wheels. Dope gripped it so hard his knuckles turned white. From where he sat, he appeared a little taller than Sebastian, but had a slim build.
God, if you're real, please save us.
The woman said softly. I grabbed her hand.
I don't know how, but I swear I'll get you out of this and help you and the kids.
She shook her head.
You don't understand. Sebastian is helping us.
My brows shot up.
Helping you?
Yeah, my children and I are here, willingly. In order to keep everyone safe, we can't see where we're going. Sebastian is a wonderful man. He'll have to explain it to you if...
She swallowed.
If we get away from whoever saw you.
It's a tall blonde guy. He caught me on his property. Your property.
Shit. That sounds like my husband. Did he have a small birthmark on his forehead?
I don't know. It was dark. He was super pissed, though.
Mom?
The little girl asked.
Yeah, baby?
Is father going to get us?
The tremble in her little voice ripped my heart out of my chest and stomped all over it.
The van whipped in another direction and sped down a street before it came to a stop.
Keep an eye out, but I think we lost him,
the driver said. A heavy silence filled the small space, our breathing the only sound.
Hopefully we're good.
The vehicle slowly eased forward.
I hope you know what the fuck you're doing, Bass. That shit back there ain't cool at all. You've been doing this a long time, and you should have realized she was following you.
I'm right here, I said, defiance thick in my tone. He was talking about me like I wasn't right behind them. And I'm good at tailing people, I snorted. They didn't need to know that I'd never followed anyone in my life. Sebastian's head was probably somewhere else. Sebastian glanced over his shoulder.
Get comfortable, Ella. It's going to be a long ride, and I don't have time to blindfold you. Hell, you've seen too much already. It wouldn't matter anyway.
I folded my arms over my chest, pissed that I was trapped here without answers. At least the woman next to me had stuck up for Sebastian. I just needed to know what the hell he was doing with two kids and a married woman blindfolded in the back of a vehicle with no windows. It looked really bad. The soft hum of the engine and the children talking in muffled voices caught my attention.
What's your name?
I asked the lady.
I can't tell you, but it's not because I don't want to. It's safer if you don't ask me questions.
Well, shit. I would have to wait on Sebastian after all. It was after midnight when the vehicle slowed and then rolled to a stop.
You can take your blindfolds off now,
Sebastian said before he hopped out of the vehicle. His shoulders seemed more relaxed, and his tone wasn't so sharp with anger. The back doors clicked and then flew open, and I gulped deep breaths of fresh air. From the looks of it, we were miles away from civilization, with only rolling hills spreading out like an unending sea before us. We were in the middle of fucking nowhere. A dark-colored car with its headlights on was waiting ahead of us. I stumbled out of the van, desperately needing to stretch my legs. One of the doors closed, the sound startling me. I was jumpy as hell. Sebastian kneeled in front of the kids.
I know this is scary, but you both are so brave. I'm really proud of you. When you get scared, the most important thing to remember is that you're safe. He can't hurt you anymore.
His blue eyes softened as the children threw their arms around him, almost knocking him to the ground. My throat tightened with a rush of emotion at his tenderness, and my heart broke at their courage. A thin, pretty blonde approached us.
We need to move out.
Sebastian stood, the little still sticking close to him.
Sarah,
he said to the mom.
This is Brittany. She's one of my travelers and helps move families out of the state. She's going to drive you and the kids across the country. She has new identities, social security numbers, and a driver's license set up. You'll also have a job and temporary housing for as long as you need it. Brittany will be your contact person with any questions.
Brittany gave the family a sweet smile.
I know this is hard, but I promise that I'll help every step of the way. You can rebuild your life and never worry again.
I was still puzzled. But from the conversation, Sarah had been honest with me. Sebastian and Brittany were helping.
Thank you, Sebastian. I'm terrified and questioned myself 100 times, but we had to leave. I wouldn't have been able to without your help. I'll never be able to repay you.
Sebastian placed his hands on his hips.
Repay me by helping you and the kids heal.
rebuild your life, then help someone else when they need it. Sarah gave him an exhausted smile.
Teal.
She hugged him briefly, then turned to her son and daughter.
Let's head out.
Sebastian stilled as the family climbed into Brittany's car, and she waved at him. I'll keep you updated, boss. A big grin lit up her features as she hopped into the driver's seat and drove away. My heart worked its way to my throat as Sebastian blew out a huge sigh.
Ella, you nearly cost them their lives. What the fuck were you thinking?
His tone was laced with steel as he took calculated steps toward me. I backed up until I hit the closed door of the van.
At first, I thought you were taking them to sell or something. They're just babies.
His palms landed on either side of my head, caging me in. My stomach dipped at his proximity.
You what?
He barked. My pulse spiked as I tried to back up, but it was no use.
I stopped by the club to see you and overheard a conversation. It sounded like you were breaking into a home. I followed you so I could find out who you really are.
A rumble of laughter traveled through Sebastian's chest.
I don't need to steal from anyone. What you heard was me making sure that Sarah's husband, Stephen, didn't show up when we were getting them out of the house.
The man who was following us.
One and the same. Do you know what would have happened if Stephen had gotten his hands on Sarah and the kids?
His voice lowered.
No.
But he was pissed, so I can guess.
Stephen beat the hell out of his wife on a regular basis. She's been to the ER for broken ribs, a collapsed lung, a broken arm, and more. But that's the nice part.
Sebastian dipped his head, his breath grazing my ear.
He turned on the kids, but the little girl got the worst of it. He hurt her, touched her in a way no man should ever touch a 12-year-old girl.
What?
Bile rose in my throat at the thought of that sweet girl being abused, never mind by her own goddamn father.
The sick bastard deserves to die.
I spat, meaning each word.
One of many, this is what I do. My team and I help relocate abused women and children. We give them a safe place to start over, new identities, and set them up to succeed. It's dangerous and illegal, and I can't have people blowing our cover.
The weight of suspicion and doubt slipped away with his confession, and my heart swelled with overwhelming gratitude. A twinge of guilt rode on its heels. I had automatically suspected the worst of Sebastian. At dinner, you asked where I stood with someone breaking the law to help others. I looked into his eyes, losing myself in them for a moment.
You were asking about yourself.
Yeah. I can't get involved with anyone that could jeopardize my work, Ella. Lives are depending on our discretion. If Stephen had caught up with us, he would either have been killed or he would have taken his family back. Neither scenario was optimal. He'll figure shit out, but he didn't see my face. He saw yours.
He cleared his throat.
You might be in danger because you were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I glanced away, frustrated and pissed. Fucking hell. I might have two psychos after me now. How did I keep putting myself in these situations? I'm so sorry, Sebastian. I thought you were a bad guy.
And now?
His heated gaze focused on my mouth, and I shifted from one foot to the other, the shitty evening dissipating as he leaned in closer. I love that you're helping women and children. I might think it's amazing that you're brave enough to get them to safety while breaking laws. I chewed on my lower lip and weighed my following words. Let me help.
Hell no. Don't even think about it. It's dangerous. Stephen isn't the first problem we've ever encountered. This is the only time you get to be involved. Stay out of it.
Irritation bubbled up inside me, and I huffed.
And if I don't? I tailed you once. I can do it again.
Sebastian's jaw tightened.
Then you'll be putting people in jeopardy. Can you live with that?
Defeat pulsed through my veins. No, I whispered.
Not to mention, I'd be worried sick about you all of the time.
Don't be the problem here, love, or we won't see each other again. A part of me loved how protective he was of the families he saved, but he had put me in the same box. Sebastian was willing to let me go to protect me. My chest rose and fell, brushing against his. I don't think that will work for me.
I was hoping you'd say that.
My heart pounded uncontrollably against my ribcage as his body pressed mine against the van. After death's viciousness, I craved something softer. My mind skipped a beat and returned to the hot and heavy makeout session Sebastian and I had found ourselves in on our first date. Seconds later, my thoughts caved in on themselves as I struggled to reconcile my need for the darkness as much as the light. His demanding mouth devoured mine, igniting a fire inside me that begged to burn brighter and hotter. He kept his hands planted firmly on the vehicle, as if steadying himself with them. I moaned, our tongues tangling in the heated moment. And for just a few seconds, I allowed myself to get lost in Sebastian's touch and forget all about death and his cruelty. Stupid, stupid me.
Chapter 19. Sebastian. As much as I wanted to stand there and kiss Ella all fucking night, we had to leave. We need to go. Get in. I'll ride in the back. I climbed in and closed the door as Ella hopped into the front seat. Ella, this is Dope. Dope, meet Ella. Be mates. Talk. Get to know each other. Dope, I'll have her sign an NDA when we're back at the club, so answer whatever questions she has. Go ahead and tell her. I'm going to get some rest. I nearly laughed at the expression on Ella's face. I almost felt bad for her, but not quite. She'd shoved her nose where it didn't belong, and it landed her in trouble. Although I could easily forgive her for jumping to conclusions, she was smart enough to learn and not pull that shit again. I pretended to sleep as Ella tried to strike up a conversation with Dope. He answered her questions about our work with short, clipped responses. It would take longer than a few hours stuck in a damn van for him to thaw, but I knew that. Dope was super protective of me and the families we helped. I leaned up between the seats. Dope, Ella's car is still in the alley behind Sarah's house. I would prefer that she not return there. I'm sure Stephen is on a rampage by now. It would be better if you handled it. Me running into him wouldn't work in anyone's favor. Dope's brow rose as his lips pursed into a thin line before his gaze cut to Ella. I'll need your key and address. I'll drop it after you before you have to drive to work in the morning.
I don't work tomorrow. I took the week off because...
She smashed her lips together.
Because we just found out my dad is dying and I need time to process and grieve. I'm planning on spending the day with him, so if you could have my car by 11, that would be great.
Dope's expression fell with her words. That fucking sucks. I'm sorry.
Thanks.
She stared out of the window, silent. I leaned back against the side of the van and closed my eyes. After sharing her news, I doubted Ella would want to try to talk to Dope, or anyone else for that matter. I didn't blame her. I scrubbed my face with my hands, willing myself to perk up, but my ass was tired after the excitement with Sarah and Ella. We had stopped by Velvet Vortex and Ella signed the non-disclosure agreement before we dropped her off. I stretched my legs out and crossed them at the ankles, the keystrokes of Dopes' keyboard filling the room. We'd returned to Portland, where I'd crashed on his shitty love seat, but I'd slept in worse places. Cheers for taking care of Ella's car, Dope. Why the fuck did she decide it was a good idea to trail us anyway, son of a bitch? I had no clue she was even following me. Fuck. Dope swiveled in his office chair, glaring at me. She's in your head. We've been helping families for 3 years, and not once have you screwed up this bad. Are you sure I don't need to make some calls and schedule some fights for you? It might clear your mind. My lips pursed. I don't need to go down that rabbit hole, so quit fucking bringing it up, mate. For whatever reason, I trust her, or I wouldn't have told her what we do. She wanted to join us, and I said, hell no, I'm not putting her in danger. Dope scoffed. You already have. The moment you banged her, you were a goner. My head whipped around, my jaw clenching while my gaze narrowed on Dope. I told you not to fucking talk about her like that. Dope held his hands up in mock surrender, his eyes wide in confusion and apology, before he dropped his arms and returned to his computer. Does she know you got a dip for a while? No. I'll tell her when I see her again. Probably tonight or tomorrow. I yawned. I need some sleep first. Kip is covering the club tonight, so I'll call her later. She needs some time to chew on what went down with Sarah anyway. She seemed fine with it when we talked on the drive home, but I don't know her that well. Dope moved closer to his curved monitor. I just want to make sure. Dope leaned back in his chair. Well, I recommend you do it tonight. The team is ready to move the family out tomorrow evening, but they have two more families while we're there. I plan on being gone for at least a few weeks. Damn, that's longer than we thought. I stood and stretched, my fingertips brushing the low ceiling of Dope's dungeon. I'll call Ella on the way to my place. I won't be worth shit to anyone if I don't catch some sleep and eat. I slapped Dope on his shoulder. I'm out. Later, man. Later. I climbed the stairs to the main floor of Dope's house and let myself out. The bright sunlight caused me to cringe as I shaded my eyes with my hand. Climbing into my car, I wondered how long I would continue running the relocation program. For the first time in years, I had started wondering what a different life might look like. I drove away from Dope's place and pressed the call button on my steering wheel. Ella's name and number lit up the display screen. Hey. Her soft voice filled my car. Hi. How are you after last night?
Tired, but okay. Every time I try to sleep, my mind returns to Sarah and the kids. How are they doing?
Good. Brittany will stay in touch as the family adjusts, so just know that they're in safe hands, but they have new identities now, and I can't discuss any more with you. I massaged the back of my neck.
I understand.
I have to leave town for a few weeks. I was hoping to see you tonight before I go.
A few weeks?
Disappointment clung to her words.
Yeah, it's for work. Come over now if you want.
I smiled. I would love that. I need a shower and change clothes, though.
Use my shower. I'll make a late lunch while you're cleaning up.
My dick jumped to attention, wondering if she would offer the same shower she used to film for the adult website. No matter how badly I wanted to pin her beneath me and ravish her, it would have to wait. I glanced at the clock. I'll see you in 10.
I'll be waiting.
It had only taken me 9 minutes to reach her house, and I spotted her car in the driveway. Before I could ring the doorbell, Ella opened the door. Her soft smile lit up her face as she took my hand and led me inside. My dick refused to give up as my gaze trailed up her body. Her hair hung past her shoulders, and her tank top molded to her breasts, while her running shorts barely covered the curve of her ass cheeks. I resisted the urge to pull her shorts down and taste her right then and there.
"I'm glad you're here,"
she turned to me. "Me too. 2 weeks is a long damn time." I tucked her hair behind her ear before I pressed my lips to hers. "Even though I would prefer to kiss you all day, I really need to clean up. If you'll point me in the right direction.
Use my bathroom. There's a clean towel and washcloth for you on the counter. Are you okay with a salad and turkey sandwich?"
"Sounds perfect." I kissed her again before I headed to her bedroom. Passing her desk, I spotted the medical bills and wondered if she'd noticed the balance had been paid off. My instincts said no, since she hadn't mentioned it. She'd never know it was me, since I instructed the hospital and clinic to tell her it was an anonymous person. I continued toward her bathroom and reminded myself to chill the fuck out and to enjoy our time together. Maybe I could even move the schedule up for relocating the families, but only if it didn't cost them their safety.
Chapter 20. Ella. Over the next week, Sebastian wouldn't tell me where he was, but he sent a few texts and called every other day from an untraceable burner phone. I questioned the unfamiliar number, but he explained he used it to protect the families he was helping. It was strange how much I missed him, and found myself bonding over text messages and deep conversations about his work with the families, what he loved about working with the bar, and even about his underground fighting days. I probably should have been shocked, but this man was breaking laws and had most likely found himself in situations he had to use his fists to get out of if he wanted to live. Worst of all, my heart broke when he told me both of his parents had died when he was 12. Even over the phone, I could tell it was a closed conversation, so I didn't ask many questions. I loved the moments we chatted about travel dreams and where each of us wanted to visit and maybe even move. Sharing these thoughts with each other made me happy. Sinking my teeth into my lower lip, I recalled dancing in the rain with Sebastian. It felt so strong, safe. I hadn't experienced that with anyone before, and it drew me to him. Surprised, I realized I missed him. My mind returned to the moment, and I blew out a heavy sigh. After spending the day with Dad, I was emotionally and physically drained. The irony of meeting Sebastian and beginning something new while Dad's life was ending hadn't escaped me. There would come a time when I traded one hero for another, and the mere idea fucking gutted me. After a hectic but good week at work, I was glad it was Friday and I could relax. After I parked my car in the driveway, I grabbed the trash canister and rolled it to the side of the house. I was ready to get into my pajamas and curl up with a good book before getting some sleep. Reaching the back door, I fished for my key in my purse and slid it into the lock. Cold metal pressed against my temple as a strong hand slipped over my mouth. The hair on the back of my neck stood on end as the person's breath grazed my ear.
"Not a word, Ella, or I'll put a bullet in your head right now. Thanks to your license plate, it was very easy to find you, you conniving bitch. Now, open the door and walk inside."
My blood chilled as recognition dawned on me. The voice didn't belong to Death, but to Stephen, Sarah's abusive husband. At least Sarah and the kids were safe thanks to Sebastian and his team, but I wasn't. His maniacal laugh reached my ears as I walked inside, Stephen right behind me. My mind scrambled for a way out of the situation, but the sick bastard had a gun trained on me.
Sebastian's words echoed in the back of my head, reminding me of Stephen's sins. I had to keep my mouth shut. I had a suspicion that he would end me if he realized that I knew what he'd done to his daughter and family.
Turn around and look at me.
I obeyed, the glint of light on the barrel of his weapon catching my attention.
Don't do this, Stephen,
I pleaded, my voice quivering.
I'm not worth it.
Where is the cunt?
I'm sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sarah, where is she? Where are my kids?
I gritted my teeth.
I don't know.
Liar.
His intense gaze narrowed, his chest rising and falling with his rage.
Get on your knees.
My legs trembled, entirely at his mercy. He was too far away for me to tackle, and I had to give him a reason to move closer. Vomit traveled up my throat, and I swallowed the bitter bile down. Stephen paced in front of me.
Where are they, Ella? You helped them escape, pretending you lost your little dog. Well, guess what? You don't have one. There are zero signs in your house that you have any animals at all. As a single female, it's a stupid move.
Thanks for the advice, I muttered, immediately scolding myself for what I just said to the man holding me at gunpoint. Fear showed itself in crazy ways under duress. Stephen stomped toward me, his black boots thundering against my hardwood floors and my heart along with them. He aimed the gun at me.
Get on your knees.
He pressed the weapon against my temple and moved his finger to the trigger. He threw his head back and laughed.
I want you to take a moment to think about this. Are you willing to die for that cunt? She's my problem, not yours, and she sure as fuck isn't worth dying for. But you have a big backyard, and I have no qualms about burying you there.
Thoughts of Sarah and the kids broke through the fear, followed by Sebastian's kindness as he kneeled in front of the children, encouraging them. I could be strong for them. I had to. I stilled, clearing my mind the best I could. That little girl was worth saving. She was worth dying for. The fucking bastard would never hurt her again. My fear twisted into a dark, nearly blinding hatred, and my determination to protect Sarah and her family returned full force. Slowly, I looked from the weapon in his hand to his hardened gaze, full of rage. The corners of my lips picked up as I planned my next move. I would rather die rebelling and protecting innocent children than submitting.
You stupid bitch!
Time seemed to grind to a halt as I plowed forward and headbutted him right in the junk. He yelled as his arms lowered and the weapon clambered to the floor. The momentum of my hit sent me tumbling toward the gun, and my fingers closed around it before he could react. In one smooth motion, I spun around and pointed it at him. He froze, his expression wide with terror as I cocked the hammer back, ready to pull the trigger if he came at me. But it was too late.
Hello, Ella. Nice of you to give me a new body to bury.
Death said from behind Stephen. I stilled as the glint of his blade against Stephen's neck caught my attention. Death's gray eyes peered at me through his mask as a swell of gratitude bloomed inside my chest.
Did he hurt you?
His tone was void of emotion, cold and calculating. No, I managed to choke out as the realization sunk in that Stephen had almost killed me. And death had snuck into my house and saved me.
Who is this man to you?
Death asked. He's looking for his family who escaped him a few nights ago. He abused his wife and son, but even worse, he molested his daughter. He's a horrible excuse for a human being. I stood, the gun still in my hand as I righted myself.
That's a lie,
Stephen yelled, his voice quivering with fear.
Make another sound and I will slice you open from throat to groin. You will drown in your own blood, and I will cherish the sight of your last breath leaving your body.
Death dug the sharp edge of the weapon into Stephen's neck, causing a trickle of crimson liquid to stream down his shirt.
Little lamb, go to your bedroom right now and lock the door. Don't come out until I give you permission. Do not call the cops. Do you understand?
Fear surged through my veins like icy water as I ran toward my room. My hands trembled as I threw the door shut and pressed my ear against it, desperately trying to make out what was happening on the other side. Death's voice was a mumble, but Stephen's pleading was clear as a bell. Every fiber of my being rooted for Death to end the fucked up bastard for hurting his family. My heart thundered in my ears as I continued to listen. I chewed on my thumbnail as the conversation's volume dropped, and seconds later, the sound of a lamp crashing to the floor split the silence. Cringing, I grasped the gun again, unsure if Stephen would barge through my bedroom door and hurt me. If he did, I was prepared to shoot and kill. Another crash echoed through the house, and I held my breath and waited for his reply. Instead, I heard only the sound of glass shattering against the walls of my home. Gripping the pistol tightly, I tensed, ready to defend myself. My pulse skipped several beats as another deafening crash rang out. Then, there was nothing. Minutes seemed like hours as I strained to hear any additional noises, but there was only an eerie silence. I braced myself as I slowly turned the doorknob and cracked the door. I tiptoed into the kitchen, wondering when Stephen would grab me, but I didn't see him. My gaze swept the area, and before I could scream, a large hand slapped over my mouth. Blood. So much blood coated the kitchen floor. Stephen laid on his back, his unseeing eyes staring at the ceiling. His throat gaped where it had been slashed, still gushing crimson. Bile rushed from my stomach and I smacked Death's hand away as I puked. The sound of it splattering over my feet made me retch again, and I grabbed my belly as my nostrils flared from the stench. I had seen horrendous crime scene pictures at work, but witnessing it firsthand was more than I could deal with.
Are you kidding me?
I forced myself to look at the man standing next to me. It was the first time my brain registered the black Grim Reaper mask over his face. Even if Stephen had made it out alive, he would have never been able to identify Death.
You killed him in my house? How am I going to get the stains out of my floor?
My voice shook as disbelief in the aftermath of adrenaline spiked my heart rate. Straightening, I wanted him to kill Stephen, of course, just not in my home. What a fucking mess. I stumbled to the sink. Distraught and angry, I turned on the water and hopped onto the counter, placing my feet in the stainless steel basin. I washed the chunks of vomit and splatters of blood away, watching as the remnants circled down the drain. Impatiently waiting for Death to answer me, I glowered at him. My glare slipped into a frown. It was then that I realized he was bleeding. You're hurt. I nodded at the gash in his long-sleeved black shirt that was covered with Stephen's blood. Strangely, a flicker of knowing crept into my thoughts. He had gotten hurt because of me. For me.
It's only a flesh wound.
He placed his hand over the gash on his left arm, red liquid seeping between his fingers. I strained to identify his low and husky growl along with his Pacific Northwest accent, but it was useless. There was a good possibility that my brain was too scrambled to figure out who was behind the mask.
You deserve worse for killing the bastard in my house, Death.
I blanched, fear bubbling inside of me for speaking to him so boldly, but apparently I was in shock and my mouth had a mind of its own. Through the haze of my shock, it dawned on me. He had just saved my life. He had protected me when I needed him the most. A tug of war between logic and my emotions kicked into overdrive, and I shuddered with the twists and turns my thoughts were taking. Tonight, he had shown me a different side. He was a murderer, dark and cold, but I snorted before a crazy laugh bubbled up as I washed my feet. I was fucked in the head. Every fiber in my being should hate him. I should have called the cops when he stepped foot in my home uninvited. But I couldn't. Something inside pulled me to him. You saved my life. Death responded with a grunt. And his family's too. Frowning, I grabbed the dish towel beside the sink and dried my feet. My shoulders slumped as I stared at the body. Fuck. I have a dead person on my floor. So you're one of those serial killers who saves people? That time I didn't even get a grunt. He just remained silent. I hopped off the counter, careful to avoid the vomit puddle on the floor. I had a long night ahead of me, scrubbing and bleaching my floors. I pointed at his arm. Let me see. I approached him and examined his wound through the cut on his black shirt. His gray eyes flickered with amusement as I gently moved the fabric away. My chin jutted up, and I squared my shoulders as my gaze found his. You're going to help me clean up this mess and get the body out of my house. I can't have you bleeding all over the place as you do. Follow me. Maybe I was stupid, turning my back on the man who had raped me. Then again, he had also just killed for me. I led him to my bathroom and turned on the light. He stood at the edge of the room, watching every move I made. Maybe he thought I had a weapon under my sink. I should have. It was something to consider for damn sure. Locating the first aid kit in the cabinet, I placed it on the counter and pulled open the top. Sit. I tilted my head toward the toilet seat. To my surprise, he didn't argue with me. Thank you, I said softly, for taking care of Stephen. I didn't expect an answer. Take your arm out of your shirt and give it to me. I busied myself as I cleaned the wound. How did he cut you?
I thought you'd left the bedroom against my orders, and I lost my advantage.
My eyes cut to his gray ones. So it's my fault?
Yes.
The sound of my phone buzzing against my nightstand startled me. In the shock of the moment, I had forgotten anything or anyone else existed. Great. I guess it's my fault that you killed a man in my house, too. I snorted. Let me make sure I'm understanding correctly. You'll save me from the boogeyman, but there is no one to save me from you.
I'm glad you have that figured out.
I shook my head while I secured a few butterfly bandages over his arm. There. At least I won't have anyone else's blood on my floor. I turned to wash my hands.
You're helping me clean up. Don't even think about ditching me.
Death shot off the toilet seat, whirled me around, and forcefully slammed me against the wall, the air whooshing from my lungs.
Don't forget your place, little lamb. You serve me, not the other way around.
He dragged his knuckles down my cheek. I swallowed my fear and clenched my jaw. Adrenaline snaked through my body, and my core clenched with the memories of him marking me with the hilt of his knife. Damn it. My body continues to betray me.
Then I'll ask thee, my lord, to please assist your servant.
I licked my lips, my body responding to him pressing against me. He stepped back and allowed enough space between us to lower his head and bite my nipple through my sleep tank. A cry escaped me as he cupped my breast hard and inflicted more pain. He laughed as he straightened, his nose grazing my cheek.
You'll learn to watch that smart mouth of yours around me, Ella.
My chest rose and fell, my breath coming in short bursts as my panties dampened.
I smell your desire for me. There's no pretending, little lamb. You want me to do dirty, unthinkable things to your body. Don't worry. You're not getting rid of me.
His hand trailed down my side into the leg opening of my shorts. He slipped a finger beneath them, brushing the fabric of my underwear.
That's my dirty bitch. So wet for me.
He massaged my sensitive nub and I stifled a moan. My body betrayed me, but I refused to give him the satisfaction of knowing how much I craved him.
You terrify me. That's the only reason I'm wet. It's a natural fear response.
Tell yourself whatever lie you need to. You're the only one believing it.
His hand eased inside my panties and his knuckle brushed over my slit. I gasped as he expertly played with me. My eyes fluttered closed as he shoved a finger inside me, fucking me roughly.
For the last year, I watched you get yourself off for the camera. But tonight, tonight, Ella, you're mine. Don't deny it. Have you been touching yourself while I'm gone?
Heat swirled deep in my belly, the delicious tingling coursing through my body as he brought me closer to the edge. I gritted my teeth, refusing to give him the satisfaction of my orgasm.
You raped me. Why would I want to think about that again?
I wanted to apologize before my mouth landed me in hot water. But the stress of Stephen nearly killing me plus his dead body on the kitchen floor had my mouth running in overdrive. A dark chuckle escaped Death as he withdrew his hand.
Little lamb, I can't take what already belongs to me.
Terror and eagerness warmed inside my chest. A part of me wanted him. I wanted this twisted, sick, psychotic man to fuck me senseless and pull me into a world I hadn't ever experienced.
Take off your clothes.
Realizing there was no room for discussion, I discarded my pajamas and tossed them onto the floor. Death grabbed my wrist and dragged me behind him to the kitchen. He picked me up and set me on top of the granite counter, the cold stone chilling my ass cheeks. I focused on the dead man on the floor. Pockets of red had started to congeal.
Don't deny that your soul is as dark as mine.
Death backed away, admiring me. My stomach clenched with nerves as he kneeled next to Stephen. He removed his knife from the sheath on his leg and plunged it into Stephen's chest. Too terrified to watch, I slammed my eyes closed as I waited for him to finish. A few minutes later, I sensed his presence next to me, and I peeked at him as he sheathed his weapon into his leg holster. Slapping a hand over my mouth, I stifled my scream as death set Stephen's heart in my sink. He dragged his fingertips over the organ and through the dripping blood. Death palmed the organ before he faced me. "You won't ever disappoint me, will you, little lamb?"
No.
I wasn't stupid. I understood that the same could happen to me if I ever turned on him. As I stared at the lifeless heart, mine raced at mock speed. He flashed me a maniacal smile as he painted my breasts and abdomen with Stephen's red, sticky substance. I couldn't pull my attention away as he continued streaking his fingertips through Stephen's crimson life force. My chest heaved with horror at the gruesome sight in front of me.
"I would give you his dark heart as a trophy, but I can't leave evidence behind."
Disgusted, I looked away from the nightmare that was unfolding.
"Open your eyes, little lamb. Your shepherd has brought you to the slaughter."
I forced them open, hating the feel of his slick fingers on my skin.
"In my world, you celebrate the kill with the person that means the most to you."
I blinked several times, trying to follow what he had said.
I was the most important person to him. "Lean back."
Dazed, I did as he asked. He dug his fingers into my thighs and roughly pulled them apart, then positioned himself between them, his tongue darting through the mouth opening of his mask before he bit the tender inside of my leg. My cry filled the room as tears blurred my vision.
"Pain before pleasure, Ella."
He licked the bite mark before he flattened his tongue and slowly ran it along my slit. A guttural growl worked up his throat.
"You taste better than I ever imagined."
He sucked on my clit, pulling on it with his teeth. I gasped as he soothed my sensitive skin. I should kick him away, make him stop. But his tongue was as wicked as his soul. My head dropped back, my mouth slack as he feasted on me. Heat swirled in the pit of my stomach, and my pussy clenched as he continued. Teetering on the edge of ecstasy, I rocked against his face in a desperate frenzy. Seconds before I shattered, he stood and yanked me onto my feet. He bent me over and pinned my cheek against the counter as the sound of his zipper filled the room. Before I could protest, he rubbed the tip of his rock-hard cock up and down my pussy and then thrust inside me with so much force I cried out.
"Such a tight cunt. And now it's mine."
He seized my head and forced me to look at the morbid scene before me. Stephen's lifeless body. Blood spattered across the kitchen floor like a gruesome painting. Death's hand crept up my body, fingers coiling tightly around my neck like a collar while his other hand viciously pinched my nipple. As he plunged into me with an insatiable hunger, he taunted me with his words.
"You are mine, and I will bathe you in the blood of my victim."
My body convulsed in pleasure at his twisted confession, reality fading away as every nerve sparked to life. I embraced the dark desires consuming me.
"My little lamb loves that idea."
He chuckled darkly as his tongue traced the pulsing vein on my neck. With a firm grip on my hair, he pulled out of me and led me to Stephen's lifeless form.
"Lie down," he commanded.
I sank to the floor, torn between screaming out against this depraved act and begging for death to ravage me once more. In this dark, twisted ritual, I realized we would be bound together. Forever. Stephen's blood coated my back and ass as I complied with death, feeling like a puppet on strings without any control over my actions. With a cruel smile, Death positioned himself between my legs and penetrated me with his large shaft, stretching me to accommodate him. He thrust forcefully, his body quivering with pleasure as he groaned in satisfaction. I wrapped my legs around him, leaving smears of crimson on his jeans and skin as he continued to pound into me. My breasts rubbed against his shirt, creating an intense sensation that sent delicious chills through my entire body. Every nerve was on fire, and I craved more. As if sensing my desires, Death rolled over and I straddled him, taking control of the rhythm now. "You wanted this all along, Ella," he growled, and a tantalizing chill ran down my back. "I've just awakened your deepest, darkest fantasy. You hide from the world, but I see you." He lifted his hips and grabbed hold of my breasts, squeezing them tightly. Placing my hands on his chest for support, I rode him eagerly, craving the unique combination of sensations that only he could provide, pain and pleasure intertwined together in perfect harmony. The stench of blood and sex hung heavy in the air as Death's rough hands gripped my hips, pulling me onto his cock. My body quivered with desire and fear as he whispered degrading words in my ear, his breath hot against my skin. Stephen's lifeless body in front of me reminded me of the depravity we were engaging in. "Your cunt is dripping wet. You love my cock inside you, don't you? My naughty whore. You're enjoying being fucked in Stephen's blood." Death chuckled, and my body tightened around his shaft. I writhed under Death's touch, my slick walls clenching and releasing around him as he continued to thrust into me relentlessly. His fingers slipped between my legs, expertly stroking my clit as he plunged deeper into me. The pleasure was overwhelming, driving me closer and closer to the edge. "Look at him," Death commanded.